Okay. So, we're going to start something new today. It's a new year, and we're kind of interested in exploring the idea of daily faith. That's kind of the way I'll put it. And one of the sources of inspiration that we're using is a book called Liturgy of the Ordinary. What's the subtitle there? It's Sacred Practices in Everyday Life. So I realize some of those terminology, like sacred practices, aren't necessarily ones that we use all the time. But what does that mean to you, Sayla? What is a sacred practice?
Something important.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, what faith looks like in an everyday context, this book in particular, is what it might look like over the course of a 24-hour day. Did anybody ever watch that program with Keith, or whatever his name was, 24? What was it? What was his name?
Yeah.
Kiefer. Yeah, Kiefer Sutherland. That was a good one. I can call him Keith. I'll never forget that scene in the first season, so spoiler alert, where he shoots like a kind of good guy's wife's leg to get him to talk. And I was like, this show's different, John. Okay, so we're going to talk about daily faith. And I want to begin by having us view a quick little video that talks about ordinary, things that are ordinary. So let's check that out.
Most of life is undramatic. This shouldn't surprise us that most of our living is actually sort of an invitation to be faithful in those things that are most mundane, ordinary, unnoticed, unrecognized, uncelebrated. But there's a lot of folks that, like, they join communities, they join organizations, they take jobs or go to certain churches because they think every sort of bit of the journey is going to be a new accomplishment, milestone, celebration, something fabulous, something wonderful, something to blog about or tweet about or sort of take a picture for their Instagram account with. And I think those folks are dangerous, actually, in community, because if they're sort of not living into sort of that buzz or that energy, then they create drama, which then feels like that buzz or that energy. I think we look at the life of Christ, it's like we got 170, 220 pages, I guess, of sort of narrative about the things that he did and said and how he lived, but like that actually, the recorded record that we have really sort of only covers a span of 30 to 40 months of his life, and all the rest of it is sort of glossed over, forgotten, or not even mentioned, and I think that's true about us. It's like our lives are unimpressive, basically uninteresting. Most of the things that all of us do are undramatic. And if we can't live beautifully into that, then actually the opportunities that we have for the very exciting things are wasted on us. I think there's a real beautiful invitation to the undramatic also in the contemplative. Like, we sometimes think of these love languages that this guy came up with as like ways that we're satisfied in relationship, and I think one of those is time together, right? Hanging out. So I sort of wonder if like God had love languages, or one of God's love languages, hanging out. And sometimes I'll just like to hang out with my friends and watch a game and not talk, just be together. Well, it's like, that's undramatic, that's uninteresting. Like, we're sharing space, but we're not sort of exchanging ideas. And I think in the contemplative, actually maybe meets one of God's love languages, one of God's needs to be together, to hang out without words. And so I think in those undramatic spots, there's also a real invitation to find some really unexpected gifts.
Can you be faithful in the mundane? The mundane, to me, is the ordinary. I don't think that's a term we use very much in society, but mundane things generally aren't exciting things. So give this some thought. If you're a student, you're a parent, maybe you're a business guy like me. I don't think we have any important politicians in this room, but they exist. You know, veterans, war heroes. We talked about different pop stars earlier, baristas. Maybe you're somebody in like the twilight years of your life, kind of living it out. There's like one element that is similar with everybody. We all begin our day in the same way. We wake up with bad breath. We have messy hair. Well, some of us have messy hair. My beard hair is kind of messy when I wake up. We have unfocused eyes, right? We kind of get up and we're like this. Or I have a child in my home that needs glasses or contacts all the time. And when that child comes downstairs without said glasses or contacts, it's kind of like, you know, hey, look at this thing on the computer. And it's this kind of stuff, you know, just right here trying to figure it out. You know, we've accomplished nothing in the first moments that we are waking up. And so I want to talk like about that in this context of a daily faith, of a faith that lives itself out within an ordinary world. When we are waking up, we have yet to put on our identity. So everybody here has an identity. You might not be thinking about it actively, but you know, we're at that moment we're waking up, we're just human, right? We're unimpressive, we're vulnerable. It's like we've just got this newly born day that we're beginning and we're going to kind of live into. And so let's just talk about that idea through the lens of faith, the idea of our identity as members of God, members of God's family. I think many people, you guys probably identify this, don't we often feel our best when we've accomplished something? I mean, how good is that to like accomplish something? Could be something simple. Justice and I yesterday were working on his truck. We're trying to solve a problem. We felt like we had accomplished what it was that we started to do. And then when we actually got down to it, we realized that we had not solved the problem. And so we were stripped of that sense of accomplishment. And that felt good, didn't it? No.
For a quick second.
Yeah, we thought the false accomplishment we thought was we were going to have felt good. But, you know, part of what this series will look at is the action of our faith lived out in a normal day. So this guy on the video says, hey, we love the idea of living this life that's exaggerated and is full of moments of pure bliss and grandeur or drama. You know, some people love drama. They want something to Instagram about or hashtag or post or just feel like something extraordinary is happening all the time. But as he said about Jesus, that wasn't Jesus's life. And it's not our lives. You know, and so what's it like to live out faith on an average normal day? And so what I want to do as we're kind of beginning this is remind us about the basic position we have before God. What is it that we start out as when we're waking up blurry-eyed and our hair's messed up and we still have bad breath, you know? So let's start with just a simple scripture. This is the book of Psalm, and this is chapter 118, verse 24. Really popular scripture in Christian liturgy, and it's this. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a real basic tenet of the way God sees faith. You know, he kind of inspires David to just bring the beginning of our day down to like the most simplest thing, which is just like gratitude and being aware that God is in this day. We don't wake up as people of faith to a God with a vague and general interest in us. And this is kind of what we were talking about in worship and what I was praying about. You know, we might just dismiss another day. Tomorrow's a Monday. You know, you got a case of the Mondays, as is famous in that movie. And just, you know, see it as another day of monotony. But there is something, I think, as we really start to understand God, where he recognizes each day as a gift that he's giving us, that he's inviting us into. I'll also remind us that God calls us his beloved and sees us as valuable before we do anything. Think about that, that for all you might have understood about God, a lot of it we learn from the way we relate to our parents or the way we experienced different authority figures growing up, a lot of which was like, hey, I love you, but I need you to do this and I need you to do that. God loves us, calls us his beloved before we get out of bed, before our hair is straight and, you know, we've brushed our teeth, before we accomplish anything, before any action, before any service, any serving the poor, any loving the unlovable, any paying attention to the broken. God calls us our beloved before any of that starts, before any response to his invitation to be salt and light. Like, we talk about that a lot, right? We want to be salt and light. It's so basic to our faith that the places that we go, the places where we go to school or we work, that we would, you know, reflect Jesus. But we're called his beloved before we do any of that. And so we need to kind of begin this journey of daily faith from like a real sense of receiving. The scripture's full of language reminding us that God chooses us. It starts with Abraham. God talks to some of these heroic figures in the Old Testament and invites them into relationship and moves into Israel. And that's Old Testament story we see worked out through a number of different, you know, people and families. And then we get, like, the Gentiles, everybody gets brought into God's family as we say yes to Jesus, thanks to his sacrifice. And we're reminded by him and by Paul, it's all throughout the New Testament, that we've been chosen, that we are a royal priesthood. How do you go from not being in God's family at all to all of a sudden we're in God's family, we're like the highest order, we're sons, we're daughters, we're, you know, however you want to kind of define that, we're in God's family. Jesus is in paying our sin debt, makes us worthy and lovable by our Creator right there at the beginning. The moment we open our eyes up, like I'm sure everybody did today, and, you know, starts to kind of stretch and yawn, or some of you, like, what, you hit the snooze button, right? You're like, I need 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes. 10 more minutes. I get up early in our home, and so I hear all the alarms go off, right? So I'm downstairs, and I hear, like, brrr, schnick, and then I don't hear any movement. And then, like, 10 minutes later, brrr, and I know what the snooze button sounds like in my home. You know, we're loved by our Creator without a single moment of effort. So just sit on that, just for a second, just sit on that. Like, everything in your life is based on effort, right? Everything. You have to produce at work or you're not going to get a paycheck. You have to produce for your teachers or you're not going to get the grade. You have to do something to, you know, please your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, or you're not going to get the love, right? I mean, that is the way kind of our world in its, you know, calloused way works. You have to produce. But God doesn't require us to do a thing to be considered loved and cherished. I think it's understandable to want an extraordinary life that's full of adventure and full of dramatic moments, even in faith. I mean, I, having lived a lot of time in faith and in church and with people of faith, you know, I'm 40 now, I've experienced some dramatic things. And I enjoyed those things. Those were formative for me. I, like, really affects who I am to this day. But those were so small, right? I mean, they're just moments in time compared to what I'm living out on a regular basis. Even though we want that extraordinary experience, God has designed us to know him and live out our faith in a dull, ordinary way. It sounds kind of negative, because I don't think the word dull or ordinary elicits, you know, really positive feelings, but That is what he was saying in the video. Jesus, you know, his life is only recorded and kind of consolidated down to this small thing. But what about all the moments in Jesus's life we don't read about? We didn't get any scripture for, you know, all these, like, we get, like, he traveled here and there. That was like days of mundane, dull, step by step, working with the disciples. Maybe we have a donkey with us. It's the donkey's tires flat. You know, it's just, that's the reality that we don't always think about when we're studying Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, though, and made a way for us to experience fellowship with God in the exact circumstance we're at today. So I want you to hear that. You're in a circumstance today, and it might be wonderful, and it might be horrifying. You know, there might be something about your circumstance right now that you're very dissatisfied about, and there might be something that's finally, man, this is finally the way I've wanted it to be. I'm so grateful, you know, that it's like that. But God has designed us to experience him in the exact circumstance we're in, whether it's joy or pain, success, failure, a sense of fulfillment or frustration. This is like God didn't say, I'll get to you once you reach a point of joy, because that's when you'll really be able to experience me. There's an author named Dallas Willard, and he has this quote that's up on the screen. It says, first, we must accept the circumstances we constantly find ourselves in as a place of God's kingdom and blessing. God has yet to bless anyone except where they actually are. How cool is that idea? This isn't saying we should accept our circumstances and never change or never grow or never hope for something different. That's not the point. The point is when it comes to the way God wants to break into our lives, wants to engage us, he only always engages us exactly where we're at. God doesn't come to us in some future, you know, alternate reality, or engage us in the past when we were, you know, more into reading our Bible or more into worship or something. You know, right? I mean, God comes to us in the exact circumstance that we're in, and that, I think, should be encouraging, because it means that today, Sunday, the 20th, this is the day that God wants to interact with you, the day he wants to have you experience him. We have a great example of the way God shows us this truth of just the fact that we're beloved and that we're chosen and that God is present with us in the exact moment we're in with Jesus before any ministry was recorded. If we look at this scripture in Matthew chapter 3, this is the story of Jesus getting baptized. So right before this, there's an account of John the Baptist is down at the river or the lake or wherever he was at. I guess it was the river. And he's baptizing people, and Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus invites John to baptize him. And John's like, no way, man, I'm not worthy. You know, you should be baptizing me. But Jesus says, no, you need to baptize me. And so Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But like I said, John tried to take him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he says. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, as Jesus is coming up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Jesus hadn't gone out into the desert and resisted the devil for 40 days. He hadn't healed anyone of any diseases. He hadn't set anybody free who was oppressed by the demonic. You know, Jesus hadn't taught 5,000 people and done the miracles of dividing fish and bread into, like, you know, tons of food. He hadn't been, you know, he hadn't been known for any of that stuff. And he certainly hadn't given himself over to death. Jesus had not offered himself yet as our substitution. Yet God expressed his love for Jesus. And it wasn't because he was God's son, any more so than we are his son or daughter. You know, God in that moment is telling us, is telling you today, that even before you take a step at the beginning of your day, your mundane, dull, ordinary day, he says that you're beloved. He says that you bring him great joy. We can understand a little bit of this if we've had kids or nephew or niece, or, you know, you've picked up a baby, right? They've done nothing. Jack schnick, right? But you love it. You love it. It brings you such great joy. So we have a picture of what this looks like in the natural world. But can we, like, receive it for ourselves? Can we, and I know it's weird, but can we picture ourselves as an infant who God is coming, you know, to, and we have done nothing. Maybe we've even pooped our diaper, right? So we've done something. But, you know, we've done nothing, and God comes to us with great joy. And he says, awesome. I'm excited for what you're going to do today, how you'll be a salt and a light, how you'll talk about my goodness, how you'll show kindness to the stranger, how you'll serve your boss or your teacher who is just constantly on you. You know, I'm excited for that. You know, but in this moment, we begin the day with you having worth and value for no activity or action. You know, just you're in my family. We wake up already being God's smelly, sleepy, nasty-haired beloved, with the opportunity to receive grace and life anew. Alfred Hitchcock has this quote where he says about movies, they're life with the dull bits cut out, right? So it's all car chases and, which I've never had a car chase. Well, I have been in a car chase, but that's another story. You know, it's all the dull bits cut out. Well, we want our life in Christianity like that. We want to cut all the dull bits out, you know? Have you ever wanted that? Have you ever wanted to just, you know, in this context, a Sunday morning service, we don't want to come early and set up. You know, we don't want to have to deal with all that. We just want to get right to the good stuff, you know? We want a life where we cut out all the stuff. But what if these boring parts matter to God? I think they do. I think we have evidence of God really wanting to be present through the whole thing. What if days that pass for us in ways that feel very small, very insignificant, are weighty and full of meaning to God and are supposed to be a part of the life he has for us, even the abundant life? You might not want to connect the word abundant to the word dull and ordinary, but God, his life for us is abundant. And it matters even in the smallest of things. And I think we may need a perspective shift, as is often the case in life. And it doesn't matter what age you're in or what stage of life. We all at different times can find moments to kind of come back to things that we've known or we've understood, but God is now wanting to talk to us about in a way that's more specific to the season we're in. So as we kind of wrap this up, I want to just have us consider some questions. In a typical day, what are your first conscious thoughts as you wake up? How do these thoughts share your day and your life? And that probably should be shaped. So how do these thoughts shape your day and your life? Think about that. As you're waking up, I'm not even sure I can remember exactly what I was thinking about this morning. Probably the fact that it was early. It was like, oh.
Maybe it has to do with coffee.
Coffee. Ooh. Are you the coffee monster instead of the cookie monster? Yeah, well, interestingly enough for you, part of, as I was looking through this book, part of the liturgy of an ordinary faith life includes a whole chapter on coffee.
Really?
So we'll see what it says. So think about that. What are your conscious thoughts as you wake up? Next question. What practices might help you recall in your first waking moments that you are beloved? All this we've been talking about and a part of God's people. Can someone give me an example? Just creative thinking. What would be an example of a practice that might help you recall that you're beloved by God when you're waking up. Yeah.
You should have a poster on your ceiling.
Okay.
That says Jesus loves you.
There you go. Absolutely.
With like Jesus like this or something.
Yes.
Do you have that?
I don't know. We'll have to get one on Amazon.
He's thinking about it. Okay. That's definitely an idea. Absolutely. Anything else? We have some creative folks in here.
I have one.
Okay.
So let's just say you're waking up and you're late.
Yes.
Right?
Has that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Good.
And I think about all the things that I have to do in a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
I like to think that I'm late for a reason. Maybe if I was on time and I left when I was supposed to, something bad could have happened. So,
yeah.
You know.
Before we knew what was going on in our trip up to Red Bluff on Friday, that came out of someone's mouth.
Because
we were late, because we were delayed by about 15 minutes. And we're like, what if there was a major accident on I-5 and we would have been in the accident? You know, like, we think that same way too. So then we take that thought and we just connect it into whether it's true or not for the day, like whether we actually would have been in an accident or we would have, you know, fought with a coworker if we would have gotten to work on time, whatever. You know, but like, God, do you do things in our lives for a reason? You know, are you at work even in what we would consider to be our worst, you know, which is oversleeping or hitting our alarm too many times, you know, whatever it is. Like, is there something about you, God, that speaks of your love for me in that? I mean, I think that it's so individual. We have to kind of process it for ourselves. But I like that. Like, maybe it's a reason why I'm late. Anybody else? Any other ideas, practices that help remind you of faith? I know you've got an idea. I see the creative juices flowing in your foot.
I don't have an idea.
Oh.
I was thinking something similar to justice, not as stupid, but...
Justice. Why are you stupid?
I thought of something stupid and rude.
Okay, we'll see.
You like change your alarm to be just like you saying you were blowing a party out there.
That is not stupid.
He
says if you have an alarm that you can customize, you like make it say you are beloved when you wake up. I will record that for you.
Jeremiah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when you really wake up?
Yeah. And then that's when I'm like, hey, God, be with me.
Nice. Yeah. That's good.
So maybe I need to be better about doing that at home, but I think I'm still like tunnel vision. Get in and out. And I'm asleep.
Yeah. I think that's what the author, what I'm talking about today is just like, you've chosen to someplace in your morning, you know, just acknowledge that God is with you, you know, and that's good.
Judy.
Yeah.
Something not necessarily when I first played it, but unfortunately, everybody knows I'm a workaholic.
Only for a little while.
I set up my passwords on my computer for work.
Yeah.
With scriptures.
Oh, wow.
So the password is the first letter, I'll pick a scripture.
Okay.
And I'll pick different ones that are like, you know, Jesus loves you or God so loved the world that, you know, and it's just every time I key in my password, I'm saying that verse.
Interesting.
Or that phrase.
Okay. Yeah, that's
because we have passwords of like 16 to 18 characters.
That's cool. That's a good idea.
It's easy to remember.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it also, I'm reciting that every multiple times a day.
So how about one that's after work hours, and it changes to Jesus wept when it's like 9 p.m. and you're logging into your computer.
Another phrase that plays through my head throughout the day when I'm at work.
Hmm.
The joy of the Lord.
Good.
Through.
Yeah. through people's feelings. So then just this last kind of question for consideration, is it hard to believe that you are beloved by God? Is that a difficult truth for you? Do you see that as a lie, or not for me, maybe for other people? You know, how do you perceive that? And if that is hard, either in part or in full, what are some of those obstacles that you have in your life, your thinking, to embracing that? Just, I think that is, for all of us, something to consider, because I don't think this is either grabbed on to 100% or 0%. I think there's a grade, you know, there's a gradient where, I understand that, but man, I'm just not, like, I don't believe it, or I'm not feeling it today, you know. And so for all of us, what are those obstacles? Is it an experience, a trauma? Have we not read Scripture? You know, we've been told these things, but you know, what is it? Like, we don't know the truth, and so it's not been able to kind of affect our hearts and minds and set us free in that. You know, there's just different things that I think if we invite God to work in our lives in this way, God, you know, just remind me, teach me how to believe that I'm your beloved, then what, you know, what will God highlight? And you might know, you might be sitting here going, man, I know exactly my speed bump or my hang up or my point of faithlessness in this. And I don't say that to you as a negative thing. I say, like, this is what we're considering right now. What is it, you know, that God can heal? Can he speak to you about in a different way that would kind of allow you to receive this in a new way? So that's what I want to pray for us for. Let me do that. And, you know, our time is, of course, as it often is, short. But why don't we just close our eyes? Just get kind of in a quiet, personal posture. Holy Spirit, would you just continue? Would you just increase in allowing us to have receptivity to understanding that we're beloved and we're chosen, that we are part of family, that we're sons, daughters, kids of the King. Holy Spirit, would you speak to us? If there are roadblocks, there are things that we're really aware of that cause us to question that, maybe cause us to not believe it. Would you speak truth? Would you reform areas in our minds and our hearts that block us from receiving love? And if it's something where we just need to see things differently, would you open our eyes? Would you do that? You know how we work. You know how we're made. Would you do that very specific thing? And this week, Lord, would you be like extra present in our waking moments? Would we, in our hearts, when our minds, just kind of see that moment in time in our day in a new way? That we would recognize your love for us, regardless of what we achieve, that's real, that it's complete, that you are filled with joy as you consider us, as you see us in our beginning state on any dull, ordinary mundane day, Lord. You love us. We just receive that. In Jesus' name, amen.